When we hear that our Lord would like to set the world on fire, I can't help but think of the passion that must have raged in his Sacred Heart. He knew he was the true image of God who intensely desires the salvation of every single human being. He was consumed with this fiery passion. He was eager to experience the baptism, as he calls it. He wanted to be immersed in his sufferings for the sake of the whole human race. He longed to complete the mission of salvation, and this was like a fire in his heart. Everything he did in his public ministry was preparation for the day that he would be taken, tortured, and crucified. That was always in his mind. He had come to share in our human nature so that he would have a body to offer in sacrifice, as the author of Hebrews says. He said that he did not come to establish peace on the earth. He came to establish division. These words might surprise us, especially here at this parish called Prince of Peace. But he understood that his life and his work would create distances between people, even within the same family. Some in the same family would follow him, and some would not. There would be a time when Christians would be kicked out of the synagogue, when they would become an embarrassment to their parents and their siblings. He prophesied that there would be antagonism within the family circle over who he was. You could say that this was foreseen, or it was prophesied even before he came through the prophets who had that kind of passion in their lives. Jeremiah was one of these. As we read in the first reading, he disturbed the people. He accused them. His accusations were, as they said, demoralizing to them as he spoke the word of God to them. His message was God's message, but some people could not endure it. They couldn't listen to it. So what did they do with him? They tried to shut him up. They lowered him into a cistern. There he would starve to death. Jeremiah was the prophet of the Lord who was expressing his displeasure with the children of Israel. The same thing can be said of our Lord Jesus Christ, who spoke the word of God to his fellow countrymen and to us. There were many who did not like his message, his call to conversion of life. And so, like the great prophet John the Baptist, they tried to shut him up. But these prophetic voices could not be silenced. They were each filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak out. You could say that that same prophetic spirit is given to the church, to each of us who are baptized. Even though many do not like the church's message, she has to continually speak out the word of God. I'm thinking about her words regarding the dignity of every human being from the moment of conception to natural death. I'm thinking about what the church says when it calls marriage as only between one man and one woman. I'm thinking about what the church proclaims regarding artificial contraception, in vitro fertilization, and many such issues. The church, as you know, is opposed and in some places actively persecuted for preaching this message, the message of Jesus Christ. So why do we call him Prince of Peace? If he causes such division within the family, within society, how can we call him Prince of Peace? He's called Prince of Peace because he didn't simply proclaim the truth. He witnessed to it through the shedding of his blood. His sacrifice, the sacrifice of his very life for our salvation, was to bring reconciliation to a broken world. He came to unite man with God and God with man. In his own person, he took the sins of the world to himself. He became the sacrifice of peace, dying in place of the guilty. That's why he is called Prince of Peace. He alone can give the human race true peace. Only truth and goodness and love that comes through Jesus Christ can ever bring the world authentic peace. He is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. To live in him is to live in peace with God and with our fellow man. That's why in the letter to the Hebrews, we read that we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the leader and perfecter of our faith, because he alone is the Prince of Peace. And so let us listen to the voice of Christ speaking through the church. Let us keep our eyes fixed on him who perfects our faith. Let us ask that the Holy Spirit be given to every member of the church, that we may be his prophets today. And let us ask for the courage to live out our faith as Jesus desires, with passion and with a profound love for every human being. Let us love God with all our hearts and souls and strength and mind. This, brothers and sisters, is what he asks of each of us.